Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to our One Heart, One Earth Global Awakening event for November 2020. And Julie, I love you. I'm so glad you're back today.
Thank you so much. You know, what an honor. And you know, I love to be here. So it's a joy. Thank you so much. And I know you've had a really busy day. So I really appreciate that you've created space for me to be able to come on and to share.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. I think everybody is excited for you. Well, I know we're all excited for you, but I also think you're a nice grounding force in the here on a Thursday afternoon. So that's great. And I want to invite everybody who's joining in, please comments and questions. I'd love to hear where everybody's from. So please share in the comment box where you're from too, because we love that. And if you have questions about Julie's presentation or any of those things, her books, whatever, throw it in there. So now I'm done with my spiel.
Yay, thank you. So look, you know, I'm going to dive right in with something that landed earlier that I would really love to share that I think is really appropriate for what's happening in the world today. And that is, you know, for those people that know me know that I had a really radical spiritual awakening that was unexpected in 1989 in the form of a lucid dream. And the energy of that, I cannot tell you, it just took me through the roof. I mean, my energy was pretty high to begin with because since I was a kid, I've had lucid dreams and visitations and all kinds of amazing phenomenon has happened. But certainly after the awakening, it was just like I was plugged into this source of energy that went through the roof. And so I was devouring every book I could read on awakening, which, you know, I'd never even heard of prior to this happening to me. And I was also attending as many kind of workshops and retreats as I possibly could. So that led me to discovering a retreat that was on that summer. And it was held in Minnesota. And I forget the organization's name, but there was a whole host of facilitators that were really wonderful and very inspiring. And there was one woman on there that just has stayed with me all these years, because this is, you know, way back in the early 90s. Mm. Her name is PMH Atwater. Mm. And her story is that, and just get this, she's a farmer's wife with five kids, a farmer's wife with five kids, which to me was mind-boggling to even begin with, right? Because having to get up early and feed the cows and feed the chickens and, you know, deal with all of that. So anyway, she'd got five kids and she's very grounded and very down to earth. And she told the story of one day the kids had gone off to school, she wasn't feeling well, and she ended up collapsing on the bathroom floor. And the reason was she had a clot in her leg and she didn't, oh, she wow. hadn't known. So she died and she had this profound, I mean, absolutely profound near death experience.
Wow.
Like she was, you know, had all these, she had these, you know, visited with Jesus and all these great beings, and they gave her all these instructions about her life and so on and so forth. And they essentially said to her, you know, you can go back if you want, or you can stay. So she came back to her body because of her kids. And then it took her months through rehabilitation to try and get back, you know, inside her body and to sort of function again after that. you know, and various things happened. She said physically she changed, her head size or hat size changed, her fingers swelled up. You know, there was all these strange things happening. And also she was experiencing a lot of psychic phenomenon post, you know, after her experience. So she was on stage telling her story. And in the middle of her story, she said something to the effect, you know, she said, I've read spiritual books and spiritual teachings. And she said, I've been studying and meditating since this has happened to me. But she said, unless I can mop the floor with these teachings and with this guidance, I throw it away. Mm. And that statement just made me really sit up, because I said, oh my God, that is exactly how I am. That's exactly how I feel. If I cannot practically apply, you know, the teachings or the practices, whatever they are, within my life as it is, within my schedule, then I really just let it go. I don't waste time with it. And I think it's really important to understand that, because I know certainly in the beginning stages, when you have this, you know, awakening, there's this kind of crazy energy and there's this drive to try and do everything. And I'm sure you were there. I know I was there. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we get a bit wiser. You know, I did all kinds of crazy things, like, you know, putting glasses of water in the hot sun, because, you know, I read that, you know, the rays of the sun magnetize the water and it's good for spiritual development and stuff like that. You know, so, you know, I tried just about everything that you could try, because my energy was kind of so wild and so fired up. But, you know, the reason I'm sharing this is because, you know, after a while, when we become more mature and we become more discerning about, you know, how to utilize our energy and which practices to work with, it's also important to realize that we're not necessarily going to be gifted with all the supernatural powers that we hear about, that the great yogis call them the siddhis, the supernatural powers. And there's often a desire, you know, we hear about out-of-body experiences, or we hear about lucid dreaming, or we hear about clairaudience, or we hear about clairvoyance, or, you know, whatever it is we hear about. And we can get really excited about wanting that and wanting to run after that. But that might not necessarily be in your sort of toolkit with respect to what you have been gifted with. You know, so, you know, and I think this is really important to understand. And the thing is it's, there's nothing wrong with studying, and there's nothing wrong with trying certain practices and, you know, trying them on to see how they feel and if they fit your lifestyle and all of that. But I think that the sort of the drive to keep looking and trying this and trying that and trying the other thing is really to do with avoiding doing, you know, what I referred to yesterday as the gnarly work of looking at one's shadow and what we don't find palatable within our own lives and within our own being. And a lot of it can be sort of avoidance tactics and trying to look the other way, you know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm. you know, you might be in a job that you don't like and it doesn't fit well, but you want to pay the bills, but, you know, let me, you know, look at this and not really face what's happening in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's really important, especially nowadays, because, you know, with all the challenges we're faced with, it's really important to find practices and touchstones within the schedule of our own lives that work for us and bring us back to the truth that we are already multidimensional, right? We exist beyond time. And it's not like we need to be able to sort of have out-of-body experiences to prove that. Because everybody's had evidence within their own lives in their own way. I mean, I know for sure most people that are listening have had proof and evidence of epiphanies and insights and intuitions and dreams or guidance or, you know, whatever you want to call it, it has turned up and proven itself again and again and again. And I think it's really important to do two things. One, to be really embodied, which, you know, again, we talked about yesterday, really, really embody who you are, own who you are, you know, take care of yourself in terms of your physical expression and, you know, your environment and everything else, and also really nurture and recognize the gifts of being multidimensional and existing in time yet beyond time. And I know that you've had your own experiences of this, Lisa, for sure, you know, where you've probably sort of tried to do everything all at once.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because even this week I've been on with so many practitioners, and I think, I don't know, it was probably the middle of the day yesterday that I caught myself going, oh, well, I want to learn that modality. I want to go to that school. And oh, and I want to look at that certification. And I did. I totally like went there with my brain, and then I pulled myself out of it like right after that and was like, no, like I don't need, like, you know, yeah. It's so easy to get caught up in like the certifications and the tasks. And I, you're right. Like I've done it all. I've read all the books and done all the classes. And I mean, I went all over following the Dalai Lama, and I think that was beautiful. And I'm grateful for that experience. But looking back, I'm like, did I really need to do all that? I don't know if I did or not, you know? And we've got some great comments over here already. Hi, Raquel. Raquel says, yay, she got off work early so she can watch live. And she's in Boise, Idaho. Eve's from Vancouver, Canada. Hi, Eve. Burnett is from Lafayette, Colorado. Heather, Superpower Consulting, is Central Oregon. Nina from Albany, New York. I just love hearing where everybody's from. Heather says, love that. If I can't practically apply what I am learning, it's not for me right now, at least. And Gia says, yes. And Heather says, I get overwhelmed trying to apply all the suggestions I get. And it comes from my childhood, obeying direction. Need to take it through my heart first. And Marlena also says, hello from the Bahamas. So hi, oh, everybody.
That's so cute. Yeah. And it's so true, because, you know, we can. And again, this is to do with the ego, right? The egoic mind that tells you, you should do this, you should do that, you should try this. And then what happens is we put all these shoulds on top of everything. And then, of course, there's no way in the world we can live up to the rigors of, say, getting up at 4 a.m, especially if you've got 2 or 3 kids at home, right? And you're trying mm-hmm. to do some sort of extended practice of hatha yoga and then meditation and chanting and all of those things. You're just setting yourself up for failure. So you really have to look at your life, look at the blessings in your life. You know, if you're a single mom and you've got, you know, 2 kids at home and you're struggling, you know, with your work and trying to juggle everything, that is plenty right there. And the thing is that you have access to your own touchstones that connect you with your own divinity, because there are ways of doing that that don't necessarily mean that you have to follow some sort of practice or regime that becomes burdensome. And the thing that, and I know we're all familiar with this, when a practice becomes burdensome, there's no joy. There's mm-hmm. really no joy. And that is true of meditation, hatha yoga, you know, any practice that kind of becomes regimental after a while. So it's really about understanding that you are already multidimensional. You exist beyond time and in time through this, you know, personal expression. And you can absolutely trust that source, God, whatever word you want to give to absolute awareness itself, will get your attention when it needs to, right?
Yes, yes. Well, and it goes for information too. I think I went through, and I'm sure you did this too, Julie, and I know a lot of you guys have done this, where you go to like 17 different psychics at the same time because you want all this, you think you want all this information and you're looking for something. And I think there's that too, like to not overwhelm yourself with that, because there's so much potency in one message, even one sentence.
Yes. Yes. Well, that one sentence, that's why I was sharing that, right? From PMH Atwater, you know, if you can't mop the floor with it, then forget it. And the thing is because I'm visual, you know, when there's a visual kind of image that goes with the message, it's incredibly powerful and incredibly potent. And it's true for everybody. If you can't utilize it in a practical way, forget about it. And the thing is you will naturally be oriented toward that path or that touchstone or that support that will give you exactly what you need in any given moment. And you know, but the thing is you have to kind of draw a line under the grasping mind that is looking, you know, and going crazy trying to find something or someone to give some direction or some clear pointer. And again, we've had evidence of that in our own lives. If we all think about the times when, you know, we've all been challenged, you know, by something at work or at home or whatever, and, you know, and it can keep you up at night and make you crazy, and you can be asking 10 different people, you know, and trying to figure it out and pull your cards or whatever you do. And then the minute you drop it, the minute you say, hell with this, I'm going for a walk, or I'm going for a swim, or I'm going to the beach, or I'm going, and you just drop everything, then the answer arises. It comes out of source itself. It comes out of your own silence. And it is unfailing. It happens every single time. And we've all had evidence of this. I'm not telling anybody anything they don't already know, and it has already proven itself to you again and again and again, and it will keep showing up through your own intuitive messages and through the voice and the messages of other people, or when you turn the television on or you pick up a magazine or whatever you do. It'd be like, oh, it's here again, you know, I need to pay attention. And it's truth. Okay. Truth is so simple. It is so accessible. It is so available. It is so potent. It is so already here in our lives. But because it's so available and so right here, we miss it. And we often miss it because we're up here, you know, trying to figure everything out. You know, and exhausting ourselves, right?
Yes. Oh my God, we've all been there. Claire says, hi from Omaha, Nebraska. Marlena says she loves it when we get together. We love it too, Marlena. Nancy says, hi. Erica says, I'm kind of new and I have to do it all now.
Yeah. Which is great too. Let me just say, that is part of it too. It's so wonderful. I mean, it really, and as you know, Lisa, it is really exciting. I mean, I thought I had literally, and I was going to say, I thought I'd been reborn. Well, I actually was reborn. I think when you have a spiritual awakening, it is like a rebirth because you suddenly start seeing the world differently. Mm-hmm. And there is a drive, there is a compulsion to try all these different things and to study and to read and to do as much as you possibly can. And I think that's kind of a bit like the honeymoon phase or whatever you'd want to call it. And then, you know, very naturally things just settle down and then you start to trust your own intuitive knowing, because what happens is it's mirrored in the outside world, and it's certainly mirrored in the books that you read, because you start picking up books and you're reading and you're saying, I already know this and I already know this and I already know this. And so, you know, that's the kind of I think the middle phase. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, all of that is just dropped. That seeking really comes to an end. It becomes really clear that everything has to be dropped. So it's all absolutely perfect. It all has its place. It's, you know, each phase is really wonderful and fulfilling and great. And what I've seen is that, and I can certainly speak from my own direct experience, that, and actually one of the master yogis did say this to me. He said, the siddhis, the supernatural powers, are given to seekers in the beginning, after awakening. They're given to the seeker, like a parent would give a child some candy to make sure he or she behaves. You know, here's some chocolate. Yeah, clean up your room, So the supernatural powers are given to seekers in the beginning so that they're absolutely amazed by them, and then they do what they're told, right? They sort of clean up their act in terms of what they're thinking and the way they're behaving and all of those things. Yep. And then at a certain point, it really becomes clear that the shadow work needs to be done. And then there's a real deepening into the embodiment and the expression of the truth of the one and the truth of who you already are and who you always have been. So, you know, I always used to laugh when they used to say that to me, because I think, holy moly, you know, I've been given a lot of siddhis, seriously, you know, and I'm not saying this in terms of a bragging thing, you know, but it's like I was counting on my fingers thinking, you know, I must be really... just be a hard case, or you know, the candy, and she might do what we ask her to do, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Because, you know, the other thing that I do hear a lot, and it does come up, is people that I work with, clients that say, you know, well, I've never lucid dreamed, I've never had an out of body experience, and I've never this, and I've never that, and I just say, you know, that's great. It's really great, because you have been given other gifts. Maybe it's clairaudience. Maybe it's just this pure knowing. Maybe you didn't need to have all of these supernatural powers. Maybe you're already there and you trust yourself enough to recognize that. You know, maybe it took me a lot longer. You know, and that's the truth of it. You can't measure your spiritual attainment by the supernatural powers you have access to, because as the master said, that don't get, and they'll warn people, do not get lost in the supernatural powers, because they can become a trap. The goal is far beyond that, you know. And the supernatural powers are wonderful, and they're fun, and they're amazing, and all the rest of it, but there is so much more beyond that. Mm-hmm. That is really everyone's goal. And the goal is to awaken to the Supreme Self and to live from that place of the self while, you know, being embodied and being in this world and, you know, in one's life in the most authentic way possible, and not believing that there's something wrong. There's something you got to fix. I need to fix this before I can attain enlightenment.
Oh gosh. Let's see. Chantel says hi from Freeport.
Hey Chantel. Oh, I hope everything's going well. I so miss Chantel.
Oh. And Burnett says, I'm in my 50s and just starting to be able to let go of some of those have to's, and COVID staying home has helped me with all of that. Sherry says, hi from Lakewood. Oh my gosh, you guys are awesome. Erica says she's from Santa Fe. She wow. said, this is a new growth experience. Erica says, for me, I'm searching for the what next step. I'm learning to hush up and listen. Yeah. And Raquel says, Irina Tweedy tells a story of her psychic gifts coming in. She gets infatuated with them and her guru takes them away. Ha ha.
Yes. Well, you know, that's what happened to me, right? I tell the story of that. That's exactly what happened. I had amazing gifts, you know, since I was a kid, actually. And then it just exploded. I mean, crazy. And I've told this story before where, you know, after awakening, the fans would spin and they weren't even plugged in. Light bulbs would glow. I mean, it was just craziness, honestly. And I just kind of, I guess if you can say I got used to it, I kind of got used to all of that sort of phenomenon being around me and having out-of-body experiences and visitations and incredible things. And then I land in India, go to the ashram there, and then I had this dream where one of the masters showed me that the doors to those realms and access to those gifts was no longer available. And she had two planks of wood across them. And she said, it's time to go into the basement. I didn't have a clue what she's talking about. I was like, okay.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. Anyway, so that was, you know, all to do with the shadow work. And really, I didn't have any of those kind of bliss-filled experiences for 2 or 3 or 4 years or something. And then, as you know, once the shadow work was dealt with, then they started to come back and kind of manifest again. But you know, and really, you know, I do appreciate them. They are wonderful and they're lovely, but I certainly don't use them as a measure with respect to attainment, either for myself or for anybody else, because I know the truth of what they represent. So
yeah. I'm going to fix my blinds, Julie. Keep talking.
Yes, please do. So, but you know, this is a really great,
now it's too dark.
Yeah, it's really a great topic, because you can really see in the discussion of this how you can get caught in those mind loops of thinking, you know, she's more advanced than I am because she has lucid dreams, or he's more advanced, you know, because he's clairaudient or clairvoyant or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's so easy to measure yourself against other people based on what you perceive your lack of gifts might be, or your abundance of gifts. You know, and again, we've seen spiritual arrogance. I've seen that, you know, a few times.
Yeah. You know what I've noticed? There's this separation language. Like, I've noticed, you know, when you watch certain, you know, people introduce themselves, you know, psychics or whatever on TV or whatever, there's this, I have a gift and I've had this gift, and that's true. But there's somehow I've noticed just with, I don't know, I've just noticed there's like this separation, like I have it and you don't have it. If you want it, you've got to come to me to get it. There's kind of a weird, yeah. Yes. I think, well, wait a minute, shouldn't we just all have it?
Yeah, because, you know, that really is, actually, if I can use that word, it's a load of bullshit. It seriously is, because, you know, the idea of this sort of a pedestal. I mean, the last thing an authentic guru or a master will do is place him or herself on a pedestal. I mean, in terms of tradition, sometimes it's presented that way. But the thing is that they take their seat bowing to and knowing that everyone that comes into that room is the same self, the same one. There's no difference. And we express differently and we have different gifts, but everything arises from the same source. Prior to thought, prior to belief, you know, you and I are source itself beyond time. And that is why we can, you know, connect in and have a conversation before we meet, you know, via Zoom or via an email. I often know what you're thinking or going to sit or whatever, and it just shows up.
So true. Know?
And it's true with everybody. It's not just you and I. I'm sure everybody that's listening in has had this kind of prompt to call somebody or connect somebody or with somebody, or they've thought about somebody and then they show up. Mm-hmm. And it's because the place prior to thought is absolute awareness itself, or source itself, and that is the truth of who we all are. That is our primary nature. Our secondary nature is the personality and the expression of that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that when the mind becomes still, you know, is when we have these impulses and intuitions and insights. Oh, you know, call your friend, she's not doing so well, or you're thinking about somebody and then you walk out and you see them on the street, or, you know, however that plays out. And we've all had proof of that. Every one of us, you know, in our own way.
Well, even this community is direct proof. There's been several comments in the MeWe in the last couple of days of, you know, this is what I really needed, or gosh, what this presenter or guest said is exactly what I've been thinking. I mean, even all of us coming together here is an example of that, because we're all pulling each other in and we're all aligned with what we're thinking and feeling, and the modalities being taught. This is like the best event we've done all year, I feel like. And it's because all of the guests, for the most part, everybody is very aligned with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. You know, and I think also because of COVID, what's happening is worldwide is people are done with all the BS. You know, it's a real wake-up call to get really clear in your own life and to say, look, this isn't working and that isn't working, but this is, and I want to keep this, and this is what I want to do. And there's a real call to action with respect to finding community, finding one's voice, owning what we've been given, owning what we've been, what we've known to be true since the day we landed, you know, on this planet, and living true to it instead of looking for excuses or reasons why, or, you know, I'm scared to write a blog or write a book, or I'm scared to do this, or I'm scared to do that, or I'm scared to show myself. You know, really, can I, you know, do I have the courage to say, yes, I read tarot cards, or whatever the story is, you know what I mean?
Whatever
the story is, we are given a call to action through COVID. And I was thinking just the other day, you know, COVID really has been a time of COVID creativity. I've been calling it in my mind, because it really has been a very amplified time of creative expression. Over the last however many months, it's been playing itself out.
Mm-hmm. It's been an amazing year, and I'm grateful for it. And honestly, for as much as everyone in the community has been going through their shadow work journeys, I think everyone would agree that this has just been an awesome year for all of us that have been in this community. I mean, we've all learned so much, we've all grown so much. So many people have dug into their work. Yes. And April Meganson, we love you. She said, ha ha, we talked about this morning. She said, we are already that.
Yes. 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 And it takes, maybe it took something like COVID to kick us, you know, into action to start creating the way that we've been called to, rather than putting it off, because there is a tendency to think, oh, next month or next year or whenever. And that is a fantasy, because that time might never come. So it's really about utilizing the time we have now and living purposefully now, rather than conceding and thinking, oh, you know, I'll just wait a little while longer, or do I have the courage to do it, or, you know, whatever the story is. And I've certainly seen that played out in the people I've worked with. It's just been absolutely phenomenal what people are doing now. It just is really something else. And you can feel the energy of awakening has just really landed. And everyone who's awake and everyone who really wants to align with the truth of who they are is digging in and doing the work and saying mm-hmm. yes. And just going for it, because, you know, why wait?
Yeah, I agree. I've seen it in my own client community too. Just everybody's really like, just gonna go do their thing, you know, just really step into who they are and just go for it and not wait. And myself too. I mean, you know, we've talked about Buddhist Biohacker, but there's more, you know, there's more in me that wants to come out, and some ideas that landed even this last couple of weeks. I was like, all right, like, I'm ready. I've got some time off coming up, but it's going to be creative time. I'm like ready to be creative and to do some things that I've always wanted to do that I just have never thought. I didn't think I could do it. It just hadn't been a focus, I guess. So it's been an awesome year, I feel like.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody listening in has their own story with respect to creating something new. You know, and sometimes out of necessity too, right? Because of there's been changes in terms of work and so on. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there have been amazing opportunities that people have created for themselves and are going after just because of the craziness of this year. But it's, you know, a crazy creative year, I would say, rather than crazy constraining year. It's been really wonderful. And I'm sure there's more to come. I don't necessarily think. Well, in fact, I know we will not be going back to any kind of normal, whatever that normal was, because it certainly wasn't normal.
Well, that was, you read my mind, because that was going to be my next question. But before we go there, I want to invite everybody, share what's come from this year for you in the comments. Like, we want to hear what's happened for you this year. What's been created from you this year? And yeah, I was going to ask you, Julie, like, we're getting towards the end of the year. Like, what do you think next year? Like, how do you know, what does that look like in whatever way you want to say it?
Yeah, I really think that there's going to be more of an expansion and a sort of growth with respect to people finding their own way and their own voice, their own way of working, figuring out that they don't necessarily have to follow the 9-to-5 path or sit behind a desk. People are being much more creative about reinventing themselves and finding new opportunities, really out of necessity as well, you know, again. And just, I think, a lot more sort of growth and a lot more orientation with respect to living true to who you are, rather than following a path maybe that you felt was a safe way to go, you know. So, you know, and I'm sure there'll be upheavals and changes and governments and, you know, what we have to deal with and, you know, all of that. But it's really okay. You know, honestly, those of us that live in the Bahamas, I think we're real veterans when it comes to being quarantined. We could write a book. We've bought the T-shirts. We've gone through university. We've got the PhD. I mean, seriously, I was trying to recall. I think we've maybe, I think it was June. I get a bit muddled sometimes with time, but I think June was the month that things were opened up again. But essentially since March, we've been on consistent lockdown pretty much every single weekend other than in June and through the last months and then through this month. And this coming weekend, if I've got it right, I get confused sometimes because I'm not quite, you know, I think that we can go out and we can go to the beach. I think the beaches have opened again. But, you know, the very wisely, in my estimation, the Bahamas government have taken precautionary measures to try and stem the flow of COVID because it's a small country. It's an island nation. And there aren't that many facilities with respect to taking care of people. So they've had to make really hard decisions. But for the most part, people have just sucked it up and got on with it. And I think a lot of that has to do with the Bahamian temperament because, Bahamians are used to having to deal with hurricanes and, you know, challenges. And, you know, they're just really, very good at being able to deal with whatever life throws them, just because of the nature of island life. So we've had to do what we've had to do, and the government have told us what the restrictions are. And at one point, there was a $10,000 fine if you went outside and if you were caught outside without a good reason. And you know, I just said from the beginning, I'm going to turn this into a positive and utilize the time and create something beautiful from it and enjoy it and look at it from the highest perspective. And that's what I've done. And that's probably why I've been as busy as I have been on Buddhist Biohack, because I've had more time.
My gosh, you've been just a little busy. Let's see, you're going to have published 2 books and... Yes. Been on here like 30 times or something crazy. And yeah, I hear you. It's I cannot imagine being locked down as much as you have. And then you've also been bombarded with one tropical storm after another down there.
Yes.
So yeah, you guys are resilient. I am pretty spoiled, I think, in Colorado because we've kind of been able to just do our thing. I mean, we do have a mask mandate, but we've been able to hike and bike and go outside and even took a trip to Yellowstone this summer. So, I mean, I can't really complain over here. But I also, I like to be alone. So being in my house and doing my own thing is kind of like a treat and no big deal to me either. And I love what you guys are writing over here. Nancy said she's gotten patience this year. Heather says created a movement to end toxic workplaces, telling and videoing women's stories to empower and encourage other women, let go of toxic relationships, found you, beautiful women. Raquel says, intense shadow work has led to my creative writing skills coming out. I have a new blog, writing articles, and working on a book. And Chantel says, we are survivors, Julie.
Yes, it's so true. I mean, seriously. I mean, it just is so true. And the thing in the Bahamas that I really love, and I really felt, I always say I felt in love with the Bahamian people. The environment, of course, is beautiful. The water is just gorgeous. The beaches are fantastic. And I fell in love with the Bahamian people. I fell in love with the spirit of the Bahamian people because it's so warm, it's so welcoming, and there's such beauty in people. You know, you go to the food store and the other day the security guard, you know, he was checking my tab as I was coming out, you know. And he said, stay blessed, stay blessed. And I said, yes, you too, stay blessed. And I took a walk this evening just before this call, and a lady, there'd been some rain, and so there was a bit of a pothole, and one of the ladies was backing her car out, and the back wheel fell in the pothole. It was really considerable. The hole was pretty big. And she's trying to get the car going. The car kept stalling. And this young guy came out, he was walking his dog, and we just all got into action, the three of us, and we're all behind the car trying to push it and trying to get it going. And then the young guy said, here, to me, hold the dog. So I held the dog and he hopped in the driver's seat, and then he just managed to sort of keep the engine turning and then get the car out of the hole. And I just started to cry. I was just crying because I said, wow, you know, this is the beauty of the Bahamas, that people will stop and will help and... you know, we'll give you a smile. And there was a guy that was trying to come down the street. He couldn't get past, so he pulled over, stopped his car. He came out and tried to help as well. So everybody was just kind of pitching in the way, you know, the way they could. And so, you know, that really is the beauty of the Bahamian people, that there's a warmth and a generosity. And a lot of that comes from a deep faith and the Christian background of, you know, the belief in Jesus, belief in God, and wanting to do the right thing. And it's really very beautiful. So yeah, that's my little promotion.
Well, one day, Julie, Scott and I are going to come visit you. One day, yeah, when we're through the knot hole here.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, we haven't, Tony and I usually travel over the summer. That's usually our thing. We go off traveling to Spain and Italy and wherever. Holland, we love it. The UK. Because we didn't go anywhere for 8 weeks, we were here. And then over Christmas, we normally travel too. We go visit family, and because again, we're not going anywhere because they have restrictions in the UK, and then there's here there's restrictions coming back in. So it's a very kind of different year. It's a non-travel year. But I just decided, you know, I'm going to go even more deeply inside myself and take the time to do the things that I've wanted to do, because I've actually said for the last 2 or 3 years I would actually like some time at home in the summer so that I could actually write and really dig into that rather than kind of being scattered. And you know what it's like when you're visiting family and friends and you're living out of a suitcase. It's quite hard to kind of, you know, focus on creative projects. So again, it's been a really wonderful gift. I've really enjoyed it, and I always say I have no complaints with respect to COVID, because it's gifted me with a lot, and it's certainly gifted you, and I think for a lot of people it's gifted people with many things that they would not have anticipated prior to this pandemic.
Yeah, I feel like it's the deep breath we all really needed. So even though some people are kicking and screaming about it, I thought the other day, you know, when you say, gosh, I really need to slow down, I really need to take a break, I really need to slow down, and then you like break your leg and you have to like lay in bed. I feel like this is the collective leg breaking. Like we all said it around the whole planet. We need to slow down. We need to take better care of the earth, all these things. And I feel like that's what finally happened. And I'm like you, you know, since Scott and I met, we've been going back east where he grew up to visit his family over the holidays every year. And for me, Christmas to New Year's is like this, it's so weird, Julie, because, you know, growing up, Christmas and New Year's, it's all holidays. And my parents were very big Christmas people. But I was single for almost a decade. And Christmas and New Year's, I was alone, and you know that. And there was plenty of times I was crying and doing shadow work alone during Christmas. But what's happened is, and I didn't even think about it till we realized we weren't going to travel. But just like you're saying, I was like, Christmas and New Year's has been a really magical time for me to be with myself. And this is the first year I'm like, oh, I actually have the time off and we're not traveling and I can just sit, because in Colorado, it's not beachy and pretty like the Bahamas, but you know, it's all snowy and it's cold and it's only light, you know, part of the day here during the Christmas time. And it's just, and all the lights, our neighborhood is really, I mean, we already have Christmas lights all down our street. I mean, people are like ready. And so all the lights are lit and it's just so amazing. It's such an introspective time for me. And so I'm like you, I'm really excited to just, I feel like all of these, you know, part of the gift of doing these events is I learn so much and there's all this like energy coming in.
Yeah.
And these things start to change. And between my birthday and Thanksgiving and Christmas and this time period, I'm really excited to do exactly what you're saying. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to finish my book I started at the beginning of the year. That's my big December project. And just really like be with myself. It's going to be nice to just kind of be snuggled in the house, I think.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the thing I do miss though, I love going to London and seeing the lights at Christmas, especially, and to just have that, you know, in the cold weather and to get dressed up and snuggle in and all of those things. I really love that, I must say. But again, no complaints at all. I just utilize whatever I'm handed. I receive it as a gift and I look at the most creative way to respond and extract joy from it, because there's always joy in everything. It's just a case of, you know, knowing where to look, essentially.
Yeah. Susan says she lost a job and she found a different type of job that's more in service to humans. So that's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. And I've heard that quite a few times with people who have lost their jobs and then they suddenly get something that is a lot better. Either it's not as demanding or there's less hours or, you know, whatever the story is. And it fits, you know, it works really well. So there's always a blessing. You just have to learn how to look and appreciate what you've been given and not go into that fear-based kind of response or complaint, which is the other thing, or wanting it to be different or looking at the past.
Yeah, we definitely need to just be here right now and be happy with it and not be frustrated or angry. I mean, I know it's hard, but
yes.
It's time to be joyful. In fact, I've been working on my theme for next year and it just really landed with me that next year is all about celebration. Like that's really, and we're going to do more dance parties on here. We're going to have more fun on here. I mean, we've had a really fun year, but I think, you know, just celebrating our human experience is really what it landed with me today.
Yes, which sounds fantastic. And right. I'm already on the same page, because I was actually saying to Tony earlier, once I'm finished with the book I'm currently working on, I'm going to do something that's a bit more sort of playful and creative and intuitive. I haven't quite figured out what that will be. But I'm looking forward to doing sort of more spontaneous, playful, joyful thing. And I'm not saying that what I'm doing now isn't, but something that is a little bit more sort of playful would be fun and maybe artsy. I don't know yet. I haven't quite figured out how that is going to look, but that's what I'm feeling.
I love it.
Is coming next. So we're on the same page already.
Yes, I love it. Well, you know what came to me? I was writing this book about the 7 years I followed His Holiness around, and it was pretty serious. Oh, I was so Scorpio and so my Lisa personality. I was all intense and serious about it. And I couldn't finish like writing it. It was just not right. And then all this occurred. So it was like, oh, well, that was the way I said. And I realized like so I pulled out all my journals and I realized in amongst all of those serious Dalai Lama visits, I was spinning about boys like a crazy person. And I was dealing with my femininity. I was dating and having the wildest, weirdest things go on. And Julie knows all about that. So that's actually going to be my book. It's going to be about going to the Dalai Lama and also dating and being single and what it took to finally meet Scott. And to really meet a real partner who wasn't whatever the heck else those other boys were. No offense to them if they happen to watch right now.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's done right.
Yes.
We love yes. everything. It's such a gift.
It is. It is. So we're coming to the end of our time. It's so crazy how fast it goes. And we have one more show coming up with Becky Prater here at 5. But Julie, your presentation is amazing. I mean, everyone I know that's watched it, it's just so good. And it really speaks to what I think is an important thing to speak to right now. So I thought it was really good. And, is there anything you want to share here at the end, as far as like what you want to share with people to access or about awakening or about anything?
Yeah, sure. I mean, first of all, thank you. The presentation was, it just landed and I knew I had to speak about taking care of your subtle energy, which is all very helpful. And with respect to what I'd like to share, everybody who is listening, who's interested, can just hop on to juliehoyle.org to find out what I have on offer. I've written books, I have courses available, I do readings and all kinds of different things. And I don't need to sort of trot those out right now because I know there's a time factor involved. Just go on to juliehoyle.org. You can find out. You can also find me on Instagram at juliehoyleofficial. And I have my own little channel here on YouTube, just Julie Hoyle on YouTube. And I do usually sort of 4 or 5 minutes sort of little presentations and connect in with what I'm hearing and feeling is relevant. And I try to do them once a week if I can. And so just reach out. And if you have questions about anything, just you can write a question underneath and I'll respond. Or you can write to me at truealignment@yahoo.com.
I love it. And Julie's also one of our amazing facilitators for the Light Warrior program. So she is going to take you through shadow work and lucid dreaming and shamanic practices. And I've got that going across the bottom of the screen. We still have early enrollment through November 30th. And there'll be more to come about that after this is all said and done, but you can go look and listen and watch. But I just love you so much, Julie.
Yes, likewise. I love you too, Lisa. And I love everybody who joins. Thank you so much. As I've said before, Lisa created this platform for you. So please subscribe. Please support Lisa's efforts because it is a lot of work. To keep this going is a lot of work. And Lisa really does not, it's not like she gets money from everything she's doing. It's her own time, which has great value. So please spread the word, share, tell people what's available because it's phenomenal. I don't know any other platform that has as much on offer as the Buddhist Biohacker. And I really stand behind it and I promote it and market it and tell everybody, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it, really. So Lisa, thank you so much for being such a shining light in this world. We love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you, as they say in the Bahamas.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie. Thank you. And thank you to everybody. And yes, we're only 10 subscribers away from 2,200. So tell a friend and get everybody to subscribe. And I love you so much, Julie. And Julie's going to be back with us all next year. Don't worry. We're taking December off, although I think I'm going to miss you because just these last 4 weeks or whatever it was, I was like, we need to get online together. It's been too long. So maybe we'll do something. All right. Well, I love you guys. And we'll be back here at the 5 o'clock hour Mountain Time with Becky Prater to talk about quantum healing. So, yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.